Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Ghanaian fighter Isaac Dogbe came up short over the weekend in his bid to win the WBO featherweight championship. Dogbe lost a unanimous decision to the Cuban Robese Ramirez at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in the U.S. city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The judges ringside scored the bout 117-110, 118-109, and 119-108 for Ramirez. For some boxing insights, we're joined once again by our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, who has been firing verbal jabs over our Voice of America airwaves for more than 40 years. Sporty greetings, Nnamdi.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Nnamdi, do you agree with the decision in Tulsa?
Yes, it was the right decision. And then I don't think we have, Dogbe has anything to complain about. That fight was a tough fight. Going into this fight, we all saw it, that the only way you can come out with a victory in this fight is by really, really taking the fight, because the Cuban, Robese Ramirez, two-time Olympian, can fight. And regardless of what we say about the outcome of the fight, this is a man in Robese Ramirez, his first professional fight in the U.S., in 2019, was knocked down in the first round and lost a split decision. So to come back with a world title fight and winning it, going through what he went through, he's a good fighter, and Dogbe has nothing to be ashamed of for losing to Robese Ramirez. It was a very good and entertaining fight, and that's what counts.
Watching the fight, Nnamdi, did you notice any disconnect between Dogbe and his new trainer?
Sonny, definitely there was a disconnect, because one, if you have a world-class trainer in Barry Hunter and you are given instructions on what to do when you come back to the corner and you don't execute it in the fight, definitely that means you know better than the trainer. The trainer is there to tell you what to do. Dogbe was just doing what he wants to do. And personally, I think if you don't listen to your trainer, you don't listen to your corner in a fight, it may be time for you to change trainer, change team, and change environment, basically. You need to go to school and learn from the teacher. And then if you cannot, if you don't want to, then you need to make a change. So he was unable to really go in and fight inside, and he was getting hits with stuff from outside. So he was unable to adjust. There was no adjustment in this fight. And if you need to really come back and challenge for another title, you need to change your game. You need to switch things up. So this is why taking a closer look for a new trainer is important right now.
In the 12th round, Nnamdi, Ramirez scored a knockdown when he landed an uppercut while Dogbe was off balance. Dogbe argued after the fight that it was a slip and not a knockdown. What did you think?
Sonny, it was not a slip. It was a legitimate knockdown. Dogbe walked into the punch, you know, walked into the punch and he got up. But that wouldn't have made any difference, you know, because if you look at the scoring, it was 117-110, 118-109, 119-108. It was not even close, you know. So a knockdown, disputing a knockdown, just didn't matter at all. So I think that's why he needs to focus and work on his defense. Work on his defense if he needs to challenge for another title.
What's next for Dogbe? And will he get a rematch against Ramirez?
Sonny, Dogbe will not get a rematch. There's no demand for a rematch. It was not a controversial fight. What's next for him? he just challenged for the WBO title. We still have WBC, we still have IBF and WBA. He's an action fighter. TV fans and everybody, they love Dogbe. So we will see him come back to fight for WBC or IBF or WBA title. So I think the future is still bright. His fan base is still strong, but he just needs to make the necessary changes or stay with the same trainer, decide to listen to the trainer. And I think all is not lost. I don't think he has anything to be ashamed of. And I believe he will rise back. Royal Storm will come back.
Namdi, also over the weekend at the O2 Arena in London, former world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua scored his first victory in more than 2 years. He scored a unanimous decision win against the American Jermaine Franklin. Now, before the fight, Namdi, AJ weighed in at a career-high 255 pounds. How did you think AJ looked during the fight?
That's a good point, Sonny. 255 on a Friday afternoon. And then on the fight night, which is Saturday night, expect him to put another 25 pounds eating Friday, Saturday morning and dinner and all that. So he may have come into the ring at 280. So we were expecting him to look tired in the second half of the fight, which he didn't. But overall, AJ did not look good, but he did enough to win the fight. There was a lot of holding and clinching. A lot of fight fans were not too pleased with what happened Saturday night at the O2 Arena because everybody expected the knockout, the huge knockout. Fans paid to see the knockout. We at home around the globe were waiting for the knockout, expecting to force the fight. He did not force the fight. All this talk about demolition, I'm going to destroy you by AJ, all that was just braggado, you know. So on that, he did not deliver. He looked sluggish, looked tentative. He just looked like he didn't want to get touched. He didn't look like he wants to get hit at all.
Namdi, based on what you saw at the O2 Arena, is Anthony Joshua still the same fighter who once held all those world title belts?
Sonny, you have to go back and look at the first fight with Andy Ruiz where he got knocked out, you know, in New York City, Madison Square Garden. The Anthony Joshua before that fight was sick and destroyed. I mean, they will take you out. Confidence is there, you know. He will force you back, you know. But after that fight, he was just never the same. You go back and look at the second Ruiz fight, the rematch, he started looking really scared, fighting scared. And, you know, fight fans are not blind. We can see all that. So Anthony Joshua, after the first Ruiz fight, is not the same. And what we saw Saturday night at the O2 Arena confirms that. And if you're going to go in there to tackle with Tyson Fury or with dangerous puncher like Deontay Wilder, you better look more scared, you know. So they talk about, oh, yeah, with the new trainer, you're going to see a different fighter and all that stuff. We didn't see a new fighter. We didn't see a different fighter. We saw the same fighter that looked scared against Usyk two times, you know. So still a lot of work to be done.
Namdi, you mentioned AJ having a new trainer. Did you see any improvements in his performance under the guidance of that new trainer?
Sonny, people are saying he does not need a new trainer. He needs a new psychologist, you know, which is so funny. You cannot blame the trainer. This is just only one camp. They need to give them time to gel, you know. It's got to be like two or three camps, then we see change, you know. Mind you, this trainer in Derek James, he's a world-class trainer. He's training the best elite fighters in the game. Errol Spence, the Charlo twins, you know. So he's not some guy that just went to the gym and became a trainer. So, yeah, when you saw the way he fought on Saturday night, you would say, oh, it's true. He needs a new psychologist, not a new trainer. But I would say give the new trainer and AJ time to gel. Give them two more camps. and then we will see a new Anthony Joshua. So personally for me, I think we still need to give them time. And I think we will see a change in the next two fights, you know.
Namdi, after his victory over Jermaine Franklin, Anthony Joshua called out Tyson Fury. At this point, would Fury's camp want that fight against AJ, and would it sell?
Sonny, that's all part of the game, you know. You win a fight, you call out the guy that you believe will take you to the bank, and the guy is Tyson Fury, you know, and Tyson Fury fights in Saudi Arabia. Everybody will go to the bank. They'll make money. Tyson Fury fights and Anthony Joshua at the Wembley Stadium. They'll sell out and make millions of dollars. But the question becomes, will it sell? Well, not after the performance Saturday night at O2 Arena. Fight fans will question, can Anthony Joshua stand Tyson Fury? Go back and look at the Tyson Fury that destroyed Deontay Wilder 2-3 times, you know. So, I mean, how does Anthony Joshua from Saturday night fare against a puncher, a destroyer like Tyson Fury? We will not know. Will the fans buy it? We don't think so. We will need to see another version of Anthony Joshua destroying an opponent, and then we can believe that he will be a good match for Tyson Fury. But after Saturday night, most fans don't believe, and personally I don't believe, a fight with Tyson Fury right now would mean destruction of AJ.
What about AJ versus Deontay Wilder?
Come on, Sonny. The Bomb Squad is no joke, man. Deontay Wilder, we call him the Bomb Squad. You know, he drops a bomb on you, and you're gonna freeze, man. Deontay Wilder is a dangerous puncher, you know. And Anthony Joshua in front of a Deontay Wilder will be disaster, you know. Are you going to match power for power? Or are you going to try to outbox a puncher? Well, if you're smart and you have the right people in your corner, you can outbox a puncher. But if you decide you want to fight a macho fight with a puncher like Deontay Wilder, you will get knocked out cold. So, personally for me, if I'm his AJ's people, I will definitely avoid Deontay Wilder right now because the money is not there. Deontay does not have a belt. Deontay is not a champion. So why tangle with this guy and get yourself knocked, get a couple of your teeth arranged or your jaw broken or your nose broken, you know? So that's one guy I don't want to mess with, you know, if I'm Anthony Joshua's manager. Allow Deontay to go fight like your Usyk or get out slicked by Usyk. Stay away from Deontay Wilder, a big puncher, unless you want to deal with a Bomb Squad.
Finally, Namdi, AJ's camp has talked about the possibility of two or even three tune-up fights before his next title shot. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Sonny, in the fight game, we say styles make fight. I was against Anthony Joshua fighting Jermaine Franklin because I have always said Jermaine Franklin is a live dog, and Jermaine Franklin has a good chin. Any other person would have gone down Saturday night from all those uppercuts that Anthony Joshua was running. So Anthony Joshua's people, they are not good at making the fights for Anthony Joshua. If you're talking about two tune-up fights, or three tune-up fights before Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder, mind you, tune-up fights can be tune-out fights. If you make the right match, even though he's an Uber driver, fat Uber driver, put him in front of Anthony Joshua. Let Anthony Joshua do his thing. Knock this guy out cold. We all go crazy. But when you go pick a sleek, durable, iron chin guy to fight your man, and you turn around and say you want to do two more of that, in the process, you may end up blowing the big money fight with Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder because you picked the wrong guy. This is not the first time of them picking the wrong guy. The first time was Andy Ruiz. So you're talking about a tune-up fight. Be careful not to make it a tune-out fight. Get the right fights for this guy. Put a big fat guy in front of him and let him just drop some bombs and get this guy knocked out two times. The fans will still come. O2 Arena, he pulled in 17,000 fans. If it was an Uber driver or some Agbero guy like we say in Nigeria, people would still come. So stop putting guys that could make him look really bad in front of him. And I saw this coming for the Saturday night fight at O2 Arena. Made him look bad. In the fight game, Sonny, we say styles make fights. Anthony Joshua against Jermaine Franklin was not a statement fight. No matter how we look at it or call it, Anthony Joshua got the win, but he did not look good.
Thanks, Namdi. That's Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Prince Nesta joins us now for a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian talisman Mo Salah scored, but it wasn't enough to save Liverpool from a disappointing 4-1 loss to second place Manchester City at the Etihad Stadium. Julian Alvarez, Kevin De Bruyne, Ilkay Gundogan and Jack Grealish all netted for the Citizens, who played without Norwegian Benjamin Erling Haaland, who's currently nursing a groin injury. City manager Pep Guardiola assessed his team's performance.
Minute 1 and minute 93 was a perfect performance. And everything, when we concede the goal, we were playing really well. And of course, always the threat they have when the transitions and how his runners. But yeah, we played really, really good in. And all the part, one of the best performances in the 7 years.
Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp also shared his thoughts on the match.
There's nothing good to say about this game. This is a game which we have to use, unfortunately, to make clear which things cannot happen. We cannot not have challenges in key areas. We cannot be that kind of open. That's absolutely not possible, but it happened, and no, I stand here, have to explain it, and cannot explain it, I just can't describe it.
That's Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp discussing his team's loss against Manchester City in the Premier League. Brazilian striker Gabriel Jesus scored a brace as Granit Xhaka and Ben White added a goal each to help Arsenal secure their seventh straight Premier League win by beating Leeds United by 4-1. Leeds are currently 17th with 26 points, while the win helped Arsenal re-establish an 8-point lead at the top of the Premier League table. Ghana's boss Mikel Arteta heaped praises on his team's performance.
After the international break, we had a lot of tricky situations to manage with a few players, and there's always a question mark how the team is going to react after that. I think they were exceptional, they were really at it, everybody wanted to be involved, and we won the game in a convincing way, which is good and the only thing that we can control.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta discussing his team's win against Leeds United in the Premier League. Joe Willock and Callum Wilson both recorded their names on the score sheet as third place Newcastle United cruised to a 2-0 win against Manchester United at St. James's Park. The Red Devils are now fourth in the standings, only a point above Tottenham, who are scheduled to play against Everton on Monday. Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag shared his thoughts on the match.
I was surprised that we could match the determination and the passion of the side of the opponent. And I think, you know, before when you travel to St. James Park, to Newcastle, what will be going on. And especially after we win the cup. And so if you want to win big games, you have to be mature. And I didn't see that today on the pitch. No, I don't think they underestimate Newcastle. I think they play above their levels. Because they weren't so eager, but you could expect it. If I said, they lose a big game against us, and of course they were determined to win this game, but then you have to match that, and you have to be aware of that situation from the start, and we didn't. We didn't enter too many times the final third, we didn't enter too many times the box from the opponent, and they could easily come into our box. But what we did well was blocking shots for the chances they create. But I think we have to do it much better.
That's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag assessing his team's performance against Newcastle in the Premier League. In other fixtures, Ollie Watkins and John McGinn's second-half goals ensured Aston Villa secured a 2-0 win against Chelsea, prompting the London-based side to sack their head coach Graham Potter. The loss marked Potter's 11th defeat in 31 games since replacing German tactician Thomas Tuchel last September. The Blues are currently 11th in the Premier League table with 38 points. They're set to host Liverpool on Tuesday and will also face Real Madrid in their Champions League quarterfinal tie later this month. Here's Graham Potter's assessment of the match right before his departure from the club.
I understand when you lose at home that the emotion of the game is such that people are going to be disappointed and frustrated and angry. You know, where we are in the league table, no one's happy with. So whatever criticism comes, I have to accept. Well, we wanted to attack. We wanted to use Mark and Reece as two laterals. We thought that's where the space would be and they can construct attacks well. I thought we got into some good opportunities from an attacking perspective. We won the ball back high as well and created opportunities. I think we had a 1v1 with Michu a couple of times. But yeah, it's an error for the first goal, and whenever there's an error, there's always something that you can do better. Again, it's football, it's one action, it can happen. But yeah, there's a bit of a miscommunication, I think. And like I said, that's something for me to take responsibility for, me to look at and do better with.
That's the now sacked Chelsea manager Graham Potter discussing Chelsea's loss against Aston Villa in the Premier League. Moving on to the French League, French forward of Congolese descent Bradley Barcola scored the sole goal as Lyon beat PSG 1-0 in the French League. This was the Parisians' second successive league defeat following their loss to Henné before the international break. PSG have also lost 5 of their last 9 games in all competitions. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Louis Openda's goal helped second-place Lens beat Henné by a goal to nil, while third-place Marseille secured a 1-1 draw against Montpellier. French striker of Senegalese descent Edin Diop, his fellow countryman of Moroccan descent Elias Ben Seguir, Malian descent Youssouf Fofana and Vanderson all registered their names in the scholarship as Monaco beat Strasbourg 4-3. Remy Cabrel and Eden Zegrova also hit the target to propel Lille to a 4-1 win against Lorient. And finally, in the Bundesliga, leaders Bayern Munich beat Borussia Dortmund 4-2 at Allianz Arena, thanks to goals from Thomas Müller. Kingsley commanded an own goal from goalkeeper Gregor Kobel. The win marked former Chelsea manager Thomas Tuchel's first win at the club, with the Bavarians leading the German league with 55 points. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Here in Washington, Ethiopia's Sagai Kidanu and Uganda's Sarah Chelengat won the men's and women's titles in the Cherry Blossom 10-mile run race. Sagai clocked 46 minutes and 8 seconds to win the men's race, and Chelengat had a winning time of 52 minutes and 4 seconds. This was the 50th edition of the Cherry Blossom race, one of the most popular running events here in Washington. Yes, the race is named after those popular cherry blossom flowers, which attract visitors from all over the world every year, especially to the Tidal Basin area near the Jefferson Memorial, where many of the flowers have blossomed right now. Getting back to the race, men's winner Sagai Kidanu spoke through an interpreter afterwards, and he said, and I quote, "The wind was very strong, but I'm very happy to have won." Now, the men's race was more competitive than the women's. Sagai finished 3 seconds ahead of the top American, Hillary Bohr. On the women's side, The Ugandan Sarah Chelengat finished 33 seconds ahead of second place and top American runner Sarah Hall. Now let's go to Dallas, Texas, where Louisiana State University, better known as LSU, won its first national championship in women's basketball. The AP's Denny Kapp reports.
LSU wins its first national championship in program history, defeating Iowa 102-85. Jasmine Carson knocked down five threes, scoring 21 of her team-high 22 points in the first half as LSU took a 59-42 lead into the break.
Every player dreams of being on a big stage like this and, you know, having a game of your life, and for it to, you know, come into fruition, you know, it meant a lot.
Iowa's Caitlin Clark hit a national championship record 9 triples to lead all scorers with 30 points. Clark also set new records for total points scored and three-pointers made in an NCAA tournament. I'm Denny Kapp.
Thanks, Denny. In U.S. men's college basketball, the national title game will be played later Monday night in Houston, Texas. The University of Connecticut Huskies will play the San Diego State University Aztecs. The Huskies are bidding for their fifth national championship, while the Aztecs are aiming for their first. The national title game will feature two African big men. The Ghanaian Nathan Mensah of San Diego State will probably spend at least some of the game tonight guarding the Malian Adama Sanogo of Connecticut. In the semifinals, Sanogo had game-high totals in points and rebounds as UConn beat Miami. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston.
Adama Sanogo's 21-point, 10-rebound night has the Connecticut Huskies one win away from a fifth national championship after a 72-59 win over Miami. Sanogo shot 9 of 11 from the field, and he made a pair of three-pointers.
There's a lot of teams that want to, like, play Monday, so it means a lot to us. It means, like, everything we work for during the season, like, pay off right now. We just got to keep going and stay liking and be ready to go Monday night.
Andre Hawkins scored 13 points for the Huskies, who have won all five of their NCAA tournament games by double digits. Isaiah Wong's 15 points led Miami, but the Hurricanes shot just 32%. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. In the other semifinal, San Diego State pulled out a thrilling victory thanks to a last-second shot. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Houston.
Lamont Butler made a short-range jumper at the buzzer to give San Diego State a 72-71 win over Florida Atlantic, and the Aztecs guard could hardly believe it.
We're going to the national championship. That's not things that many people do, so like I said, I was just happy it went in. It felt good once it left my hands.
San Diego State came back after being down 14 midway through the second half. Matt Bradley led the winners with 21 points. The Owls got 26 from Elijah Martin. San Diego State will take on Connecticut on Monday for the national title. Mark Myers, Houston.
Thanks, Mark. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. Check out voaafrica.com. And that wraps up the April 3rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington.
I get it.
And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.